What's up, wildlings? Welcome to the Sean versus Wild podcast. I'm your host, the man, the myth, the Sean Thriller Smith, the guy putting rad back into talk radio. And you know what time it is? You guys know what time it is. It's time to rock and roll all night and podcast every Tuesday. And joining me in the virtual Smithsonian, I'm talking to Jenny Cochran, vocalist slash keyboardist for the Louisville-based band Frederick the Younger. And I'm really stoked on this episode because Jenny and I had never met each other beforehand, so this is just a very organic episode, very organic conversation, because we had no idea who we were. We just liked each other's art, so that worked out pretty well. And I'm also stoked about this episode because usually I'm so wrapped up in like punk, hardcore, metal scene of Louisville that I forget about its booming alternative rock scene. So it was nice to be able to reach out and speak to a band from, you know, that side of the spectrum. And hopefully this will open the gates a little bit more as well. I did a podcast with Quiet Hollers sometime back. That went well. I'm hoping with Frederick the Younger, it'll just continue that trend. So Louisville alternative rock bands, come on out to the show. And guys, I think you're really going to enjoy Frederick the Younger. I know I do. I found them just by listening to another local podcast, looked up their stuff on Spotify, and it hit me right away. I loved it. Very kind of late 60s psychedelic type sound meets more modern, like yeah, type stuff. I mean, I could explain it all day long, but don't worry, we're playing it on the podcast. So make sure you check that out. Also, make sure you check out audiophileinc.com and talk to Shane whenever it's time to screen print some of your stuff. Like if you have a band, a podcast, an idea, a business, and you got to get shirts made, or it's getting cold, so you got to get hooded sweatshirts made. Whatever, Shane's got your back, and he's going to give you the best deal in town, no matter what town you live in, and he's going to ship to all 50 nifty United States, so he's going to get you set up. Go to audiophileinc.com and tell him the Wild Man sent you. You guys know the drill. You've heard it enough. Go to audiophileinc.com, tell him the Wild Man sent you. And guys, Frederick the Younger is going to be out on tour starting today, 10-10. Their tour kicks off in Lawrence, Kansas. And the thing is about a tour is you got a lot of time on your hands. You got a lot of time to kill driving from town to town. What's the best way to kill some time from town to town while still getting your learn on? Audiobooks. Oh, you don't have an audiobook? Don't worry, Sean versus Wild listener. I'm about to hook you up. Go to audibletrial.com/Sean versus Wild from your desktop or your laptop and sign up for a free 30-day trial version of Audible. And when you do that, you get a free audiobook. And you can choose from over 180,000 audiobooks. Okay, so Stephen King's It, that's 44 hours of your life. That's a lot of time. It's a lot of road trip time that you got covered now that you have an audiobook. Or maybe you want to check out Dune, or maybe you want to check out some books on philosophy, or you want to check out the Twilight series. Don't worry, it's all on there, no matter what your preference is. Again, over 180,000 books to choose from. The important thing is get on your laptop or your desktop, go to audibletrial.com/Sean versus Wild and get signed up. It's an Amazon company. You just sign in with your Amazon account. Pretty darn simple. audibletrial.com/Sean versus Wild. Yeah, I thank you very much for that. Every time you do that, it's going to send a little bit of money back my way, and I can use every bit of money that I can get. Just like you can. You know what it is. Money makes the world go round, guys. That and caring. But yeah, guys, speaking of caring, I care about you so much. And I thank you very much for checking the show out each week and liking, sharing, subscribing on Facebook and on iTunes and on YouTube and on Stitcher and on Podcast Addict and on whatever place that you get your podcasts. I definitely appreciate it. A lot of great support. The numbers are just trending up higher and higher. And I'm just not going to stop. You know, I think I've genuinely found my calling. Cliffy Madden from Darlington Pears really gave me a nice compliment the other day, which I posted on Instagram. But I think this might be the thing, guys. So I appreciate you guys tuning in each and every week. I've talked enough. It's time to get to Frederick the Younger. So pop this tape into your tape deck, press record. It's time to get wild. So, Jenny, I got a notification that my Amazon order arrived to my house, and I got this new microphone cable that I was hoping would make this conversation like much easier, and it turned out that it made it much more difficult, and then I had to rewire the mixer up the old way to chat with you. But I'm glad
I'm glad that
we were able to make this happen. And I'm thank you for your patience. Thank you for bearing with me. I know I was like 4 minutes late on our scheduled phone call.
Oh, no. Thanks for having me.
Well, you're absolutely welcome. And also, too, what I did get in the mailbox, this is maybe more important than the Amazon cable, but I got my MoviePass debit card. Do you have MoviePass yet, or have you heard of it yet?
No, I haven't even heard of it.
You haven't heard of it? Okay. Do you like going to the movies?
I'm not a big movie person.
You're not a big movie person at all?
No, not at all, really. I had one of those unique childhoods where we didn't really watch movies or TV.
That's definitely unique, especially compared to my childhood, because I watched a lot of movies and TV. But yeah, I have this thing called MoviePass. Well, for listeners out there, if you're interested in MoviePass, basically you pay $9.95 a month. You can go see a movie at the movies any day that you would like. You can see one movie every single day, and it's $9.95 a month.
What?
It rocks. So I'll tell you what, if you're thinking about maybe getting into movies, now that MoviePass is out, might be something to look into.
Wait, so you can go to any movie at any movie theater?
Yes, you just can't see the same movie twice, but you can see any movie on any day. So if I wanted to go see, you know, movie A today and movie B tomorrow and movie C the next day, I can do that. I can see 30 different movies in a month for $9.95.
For $9.95?
Yeah.
Wow, now that's a deal.
That's what I'm saying. And I might actually be able, you know, now that the movies are like $9.95, I can maybe afford a popcorn. See, you've lucked out because if you don't go to the movies, you don't know. You got to basically have a trust fund or be like Pitbull or Chameleonaire just to be able to afford snacks.
I mean, isn't it like $14 or something crazy just even to see a movie now?
For Saturday night, that wouldn't surprise me. $12-13. You buy popcorn, maybe buy your date a soda or some candy, and you know, you're taking out a second mortgage on your house.
Do you ever go to the Village 8, the cheaper?
I would, but I'm a Hoosier, so it wouldn't be as cheap because I had to pay $4 extra to cross the bridge.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So,
yeah, man, that thing, that hurt me the other day. I got off the wrong exit, and it was an $8 wrong exit.
Yep.
I was like, went over the bridge, and I was, oh, that sucks.
Yeah, I just paid off
$8 out the window.
Exactly. I just paid off an $8 mistake myself last week. So, guys, make sure you exit with plenty of time, maybe 3 or 4 exits before you're supposed to make sure that you don't end up at the point of no return where you have to pay extra money. But, guys, these hot tips and more, that's what you're going to be what you should expect here on the Sean vs. Wild podcast today. This isn't just MoviePass talk. This is the Sean vs. Wild podcast. And I'm your host, as always, the man, the myth, the Sean Thriller Smith, the guy putting rad back into talk radio. You guys heard me say all that in the intro. The important thing about today is I'm sitting down with Jenny Cochran from one of my favorite new Louisville bands. Found you guys by happenstance.
Aww.
And as soon as I heard it, I was like, I'm sold. Have to get them on the podcast. I'm talking about Frederick the Younger. Jenny, thanks so much for joining me via telephone in the virtual Smithsonian today.
Oh, thank you. That's so nice. Yeah, I'm so happy to be here.
Well, hey, I thank you again. And I'll tell you what, I found the band, like I said, by happenstance. Here's actually how I found it. I was listening to some Never Nervous podcasts. I happen to do one, and I may have been listening to my own from about 2 years ago to just kind of compare where I started and where I am now. But I noticed that there was an episode with Frederick the Younger, and I'm thinking, I got to check out some of this new music here because, you know, I gotta have my ear to the ground of what's going down here in Louisville.
Yeah.
And I caught that interview that Jake did with you and listened to the jams. And I have to say, I was just completely blown away. Absolutely love the band.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. And so let me ask you, because we're just now meeting for the first time or speaking for the first time. Before, you know, 5 minutes ago, we were complete strangers. fill me in, like, what's the origin of Frederick the Younger? How did you get started? How'd the band kind of form?
Well, I moved to Louisville about 6 years ago. And right when I moved here, I met Aaron, who's the other singer and guitarist in the band. I met him I joined an improv group right when I moved here, like improv comedy group, and met him right away. And I went to see his band, Dr. Vitamin, and I was completely blown away. I was like, I want to be a part of this band. So we just started writing music together, and I joined Dr. Vitamin, and we did that for about 3 years. And then that band kind of split up, and the other guys moved, went on to different things. And then we started Frederick the Younger a couple months later, and we pretty much met everybody at the same time. We met Matt. We went on Matt's The Bassist. We went out and saw his other band playing at a Beer Nose Pizza on Bardstown Road. It was like this funk band. I love funk music.
Same.
And he's just like a really funky bass player. And we were like, oh, we love this guy. And then we found John and Dave around the same time. And that was about 2 years ago. It's all been very, it's all really, really, it's picked up in this last year.
Yeah. I've noticed you guys actually, in a few different places, the name kept coming up. And so that's kind of why I took a chance on the podcast. I was like, oh, okay, I've heard the name Frederick the Younger before. That's a name that kind of stands out to me. What's the origin of the name Frederick the Younger? Where did that come from?
We were having such a hard time coming up with a band name, and we were just throwing out all these ideas. Nobody could agree on one. And I think it just got to the point where anybody would have been okay with anything. And I was reading a biography of Frederick the Great, and I just was like, threw that out. Well, what about Frederick the Younger? And Aaron was like, yeah, all right.
Perfect.
It was very... it was a very neutral response, and then that was it.
The thing about a band name, and I've had conversations about band names on the show, to me, like, a band name is important, but also, too, I feel like a band name is not something you should put too much time, energy, and effort into, because, I mean, there's some horrible band names out there, and they're selling millions of records, so in some ways it's important.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
In other ways, don't lose sleep over it.
I know what you mean, because at first it took a while for once we started going by Frederick the Younger, we had some doubts, because people would be like, oh, Dr. Vitamin was a way better band name. But over time, I mean, you just grow into the name, and it just is like any other name, you know, you get used to it. And now I really like it because it's unique. So if you type it in on Google or something, it's the first thing that comes up, instead of, you know, some, you know, like more popular names. It has like that search engine power, I guess.
Exactly. The SEO. You know what I'm saying? It's all about the SEO these days, man. We're trying to get clicks. I tell you what, I actually have a band, or I had a band. I just stopped playing music after like 13 years back in November to start this podcast. But I played in a band called Uh-Huh Baby Yeah. And I mean,
awesome.
That name is, in retrospect, it's hilarious, but it was important to have a band name that just said like Uh-Huh Baby Yeah. Like, we'd sell t-shirts with that phrase on it, and it got some attention. But the SEO was important, because before, when you had a band name that was like, I don't know, we had a band called Creatures before that, and it's like, I'm going to type in Creatures, and then it's like, oh, well, you're on page 95, after all these zoos and Planet Earth documentaries. Nobody's going to find you. So,
I like Uh-Huh Baby Yeah. That's a great band name.
That's what I'm saying. And, I mean, it's catchy. I mean, you know, it took us places. You know, we got to play some pretty cool stuff and do some pretty cool stuff. It took us places, but enough about me, okay? It's all about Frederick the Younger today. But I feel you, though. It is all about the SEO. Guys, if you're listening and you have a band name that's incredibly plain, It might look cool, but find something incredibly unique because it's going to help you in the long run. Ginny and I said so on that. Ginny, yeah. where are you from originally?
I am from Cleveland, or just outside of Cleveland.
Yeah, dude. Did you ever run into Drew Carey?
No, I did not, unfortunately. But I was in high school during the Drew Carey show days, so it was like the Cleveland Rocks years where everybody was playing that song. Brought us a little bit of attention.
Gotcha.
And now it's the sports. Cleveland's starting to pick up. That's all I hear about from my family back home. Is the Indians have a bunch of wins recently in a row, and of course you got the Cavs. So Cleveland's not doing too bad.
The Indians damn near won the World Series last year. I mean, there's nothing wrong with second place, but I'll take it.
Yeah, I feel it's good. I'm glad Cleveland's got some stuff going on because it's a part of the whole Rust Belt city where, you know, it's already got the harsh winter and then it was hit with during the recession, and it's good to get some life back in it because it's good. It's good. It's a good city. It's a good, a lot of good people. I love going back home. I love Louisville too. I've been living here.
What brought you to Louisville besides the improv?
I was actually here just visiting my parents. My parents had moved down here for a couple years, and I was overseas for a few years. And then when I moved back, I was moving out to California, and I visited my parents for the summer, and I ended up meeting Aaron and started doing music and stayed. I've been here ever since.
It's like a Cinderella story, man. You found where you're supposed to be, and Louisville is happy to have you. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, thanks.
So,
yeah, I really do love it. It's such a great city. Every time I leave and go other places, I get so excited coming back here.
I think, too, for your band, the sound of the band, you're in the right city for that. Louisville's music scene's always kind of been flying just below, I think, the mainstream radar. But, you know, with bands like My Morning Jacket, for example, you know, and even bands like from opposite ends of the or on opposite sides of the coin, like a band like Emmanuel or something like that, that was, you know, popular in the punk rock or pop punk scene. You know, Louisville's had a very promising music scene for years. And now with, you know, I feel like we have things like Waterfront Wednesday and stuff like that, where you can really showcase, like if you are in an alternative rock band. Like, I feel like your music really kind of lends itself to the area, and I think you guys fit in fantastically.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, there's so much great music here, and I'm glad that Louisville's getting more attention for their music now, because there's so many great bands.
What's your favorite band?
There's so many. Well, when I first moved here, Houndmouth. I remember Houndmouth recorded right before us with Kevin Ratterman, and I remember just being totally blown away. I was like, "Who is this band? They're amazing!" And I love Houndmouth. I love Twin Limb, White Reaper, Brenda, Wax Fang, Boa. There's so many great bands here.
So you recorded with Kevin Ratterman?
Yeah, and we've actually been recording with him since for the last 6 years. We recorded our Dr. Vitamin. We did a full length as Dr. Vitamin. We recorded that with Kevin over when he was on East Breckenridge. And then at the church that he was recording at. And then we recorded an EP there. And then we recorded the Frederick the Younger stuff at La La Land.
Kevin Ratterman has been the dude around here for damn near 20 years, man. I don't know if you ever got a chance to hear his band, previous band called Elliot.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And I remember moving here and just hearing a lot about it.
Well, they broke ground, especially with like the emo kind of sound, nationally and in some ways even internationally, broke ground as being, you know, when False Cathedrals came out, it was a huge record. But what I loved about them is like they were different they had like a very mainstream kind of sound, but they also kind of fit in with shows where you, like with dirty punk rock kids and, you know, you know, playing like Crazy Fest, which was, we had a label, a punk rock hardcore label called Initial Records here back in the early to mid 2000s. And, you know, seeing Elliot on there. But yeah, Kevin's been the dude for a long time and his recordings are just absolutely fantastic. I haven't got a chance to ever record anything at La La Land, but like listening to your guys' stuff and other artists that are, that recorded there. Fantastic.
Yeah, he's brilliant. He's just got great ideas. He takes a lot of risks, which I love. He's got great ears. I love working with him.
So you actually, did you do your newest record? You got a record out called Human Child and that was done there, correct?
Yes. Yeah, we did that there.
Cool. Yeah, that's what I've been jamming on Spotify. And let me ask you, what are some of your influences? Like, what got you into music? Because I'll kind of tell you what I hear coming out of the album that I'm listening to. You know what I'm saying? So what are some of your influences going into the recording process?
I think I have always... Well, growing up, I listened to a lot of the Beatles and Elvis. And vocally, I always loved Patsy Cline and was really drawn to, like, early country female vocals.
Mm-hmm.
I think, yeah, I loved, like, really early on, I loved... Elvis, the Beatles, and then later I really loved Elliot Smith. And those are all people I still listen to today. I think those are some, Nina Simone, some of the ones that really influenced the Beatles in particular, the songwriting. And when I met Aaron, we realized that we had a lot of the similar influences in terms of like who we listen to at a young age. And I think that makes us like, we're really compatible writing songs together. But vocally, I think probably like the early country singers, I love this. I love deep female vocals, with a lot of resonance. And I've always really loved Patsy Cline and Kitty Wells. Yeah. Some of those 50s and 60s singers.
I grew up in a house of women, my grandmother, my mother, my sister, and my grandmother had just like a suitcase or some sort of record case filled with, you know, Dolly, Loretta Lynn, Tammy Wynette, Patsy Cline. So I grew up on that as well. So I definitely can understand why you like it so much, because they're fantastic.
Yeah, they're amazing.
Well, since you brought up the Beatles, let me ask this. Anytime anybody brings up the Beatles, I got to pick your brain, because I'm a big Beatles fan also, okay? Which Beatles your favorite?
Oh, I can't even say that. I don't know if there'll ever be a better songwriting duo than John and Paul.
That's true.
You know, that was unparalleled. So if I'm going to pick, I'd pick them together.
You'd pick Lennon McCartney. Hey, that's safe, but I'll take it. Growing up, I used to be a big John Lennon fan. I feel like when I was young and angry and like, you know, whatever, a young dipshit, I was really into John Lennon. And then now that I'm older and I don't know, now that I've sold out, I guess, I've become way, way into Paul McCartney's music. And I love George Harrison's music. I mean, I think we can all agree Ringo has contributed a lot to the Beatles, but his songs not so much.
Yeah, I didn't mean to cackle when you said Ringo Starr. I just, that was kind of funny.
Hey.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
We'll just agree on that. Okay, guys, listeners, you know what we're talking about. You know what I'm saying? It's no big secret. Great drummer.
Yeah.
Good look. Nice guy. Heck of a nice guy. Good look. Great drummer. Not the best songwriter.
Yeah.
At a certain point, they're like, well, we wrote Yellow Submarine. It was a hit. And he was just like, you know what? Let's make some other nautical theme songs. It's what the world needs.
I love Ringo. Every time I see an interview with Ringo, he's just such a good guy. He's like happy-go-lucky. Just like, can't ever see anything bothering him.
To me, Ringo, though, if you ever watch like Hard Day's Night or Help or any of the Beatles movies, Ringo, though, to me, stands out head and shoulders as the best actor. Maybe he missed a calling in Hollywood.
Really? See, I have actually never watched any of the movies.
Oh, well, they're fantastic. Hard Day's Night, especially, fantastic. Help is great, like, in a mid-60s kind of, like, it kind of reminds me of, like, if you ever watched, like, the show Get Smart. It's almost like a parody of, like, I don't know, it's a comedy, where Hard Day's Night is almost, while it has comedic, it's comedic in nature, Hard Day's Night is much more seriously done film. Like, they took time, effort, and it wasn't a cash grab like some of the other stuff is that they did later.
Man, I gotta watch these movies, and I think every time someone brings it up, I make a mental note, and I really want to. I think it just goes back to the thing of, I don't know what it is, like, when you don't watch movies and you don't grow up watching movies, I feel like it just, like, I forget about it.
I'm sorry to bring that up. I forgot all about it. I was like, oh yeah, if you ever saw the movies, like, that he's a great actor, and then I, you know, totally blew it because you're not a movie person. Well, you know what? I'll let you borrow the DVD sometime. Just let me know what you think.
Yeah, I do. I need to see it. I really want to.
Let me ask you too. Okay. One last question while we're still on the Beatles kick here. Favorite Beatles album?
Oh, it changes. I go through phases. Most recently, it's probably been the Sgt. Pepper's, because we covered it for our release show. At the end of the set, we did six Sgt. Pepper's songs. So we were listening to that. We just got through, like, listening to that on repeat. I find, like, we get really into a record, and then we'll listen to it for, you know, for a long time, and then be done with it and listen to another one for a while.
That's the way I am also. I listen to actual, you know, like, I used to burn CDs. I never bought music, you know. I'm ashamed to say it now, even as a musician. Like, I didn't ever pay for music. And now, again, now that I'm an adult and I'm settled down, I'll buy everything on vinyl, and I'm like, okay, yeah, it's twice the price, but really, I owe the music industry this money. You know what I'm saying? I'll pay twice as much, and you know, it's cool. You get to see, you know, all the stuff. You get to see a nice 12x12 inch picture instead of a small, you know, CD cover or a digital file. So,
I love vinyl. I wish we had money. When we did Human Child, I was like, yeah, no brainer, we'll get vinyl. And then I got a quote, and I was like, well, maybe next time.
Hey, we'll get vinyl. You know what? Let's just, maybe we'll just burn it on CD. It's fine.
maybe we'll just print some download codes.
Yeah.
And
we'll get some download cards. You know what? It'll be the same thing. The kids won't even be able to tell the difference.
Yeah.
Been there, done that. Trust me, I know. It's an expensive hobby getting into music, guys. Let this be a lesson to you from Jenny and I. It's not
cheap. There's a reason cassettes are back.
Exactly. But I feel like your sound would lend itself perfectly to vinyl should you ever decide to press it, because I'm not sure what, you know, I listened to the interview that you did with Jake, and to me, I got the read of, like, to me, the album read as kind of a very, like, late 60s psychedelic type of vibe to it when you recorded it. And you said that that wasn't necessarily your intentions going into the recording process.
No, we didn't actually go into it with any sort of thing in mind, but we get that a lot in retrospect, like, in people in interviews will bring that up, like, late 60s psychedelic, which is, oh, I love that. it makes sense. We listen to a lot of stuff from late 60s and psychedelic stuff from that time. So I guess that would make sense. But I don't think we went into it with anything. But I think, you know, that's something I want. I don't know if I remember if I said this in the interview with Jake, but the next record, we do want to go into it more with an idea of more of a concept. This was just a collection of songs that ended up working. Like when I listened to it, I really liked the way they all fit together, but we didn't really go into it with any idea of like a whole broader like concept, I guess.
That surprises me because to me, it sounds very cohesive. But again, it could be a product of the production, and maybe that's where the psychedelic or the psychedelia, I'm not sure what we're, you know, the correct word here.
Yeah.
But just a podcaster, guys. I'm not an English teacher. So, you know, I think that's the production is kind of where that psychedelic feel comes from, too, because it sounds very analog. It sounds very vintage in the instrumentation and like the actual instruments you might have recorded on.
And yeah.
Even if that's not the case, that's the sound that I think that people are getting out of it. To me, it reminds me very much of like the Mamas and the Papas at times. Just that kind
of cool.
Late 60s type of production on the album. But yeah, it kind of reminded me of that or like one of my favorite albums of the 60s. May even like it better, believe it or not, than my favorite Beatles album, but an album called Odyssey and Oracle by the Zombies, one of my favorite albums of all time.
Yes. Oh, that's a huge compliment.
So,
thank you. Yeah, we actually cover a Zombies song in our set right now. We covered She's Not There. Yeah, we love the Zombies.
It's, to me, maybe the most underrated band in history. I absolutely love that band.
Yeah, they're incredible. Yeah, it's a great band. Kids, check out the Zombies.
You heard it. Jenny told you, and that's what's up. So, yeah, well, yeah, and guys, you know, without further ado, we're sitting here talking about the production, we're talking about the mixing, the mastering, the psychedelic nature of it. Let's leave it up to you, the listener. Now, Jenny, you have prepared a piece, as I like to say on the show. You have prepared a piece for the listeners here.
Yeah.
So, tell me all about the song and what it's about and what the song is. Go ahead. Tell me.
Tell Me is a song. It was actually a song I wrote a few years before we actually recorded the record, and I did it as an acoustic song. And that's one of those great, that's one of those great examples of when you bring a song to the band and they completely take it in this amazing other direction. And Dave did this kind of tribal drum beat to it. And Aaron and John came up with these really cool guitar parts, and that was it. I was like, really the instrumentation of that song is the hook of the song. It's the vocal melody is pretty simple. As far as what the song's about, it's about breaking up with somebody and classic breaking up, not wanting to accept the reality of being broken up.
Hey, there's a reason why that subject keeps being talked about over and over, because it's relevant to everybody and it sells records. So I can't say that I blame you.
Everybody agrees breaking up sucks.
Breaking up is hard to do, or so I've heard. All right, guys. Well, I'll tell you what. Without further ado, this is Frederick the Younger with Tell Me.
I've been trying to find my way back to you.
Everybody, that was Frederick the Younger taking you to Toontown with "Tell Me." You didn't think I was going to say Toontown, did you? I told you on the break.
I hoped you would. I wasn't sure. I hoped you would.
That's my friend Clay Nevels one time said taking you to Toontown on the podcast, and it's been such a big hit that every once in a while I will say it. So shout out to Clay, and shout out to Frederick the Younger for taking us to Toontown. Now that we're all back, I do love that song "Tell Me." It's very that song to me fits right along with, like, if you're a fan of, like, say, Janis Joplin or that kind of, you know, sound. But also, too, it would fit right alongside, like, a Yeah Yeah Yeahs record, if you're ever into them.
Yeah, we get that sometimes, too. Yeah,
gotcha. Well, I mean, the vocal, I mean, it's kind of got a like their guitar wise and Karen O's vocals, your vocals, kind of similar on that. So I feel like anybody listening, yeah, if you like, you know, a more classic sound, tight. If you like a more modern sound, cool. Frederick the Younger's got you covered no matter what sound you're into. That's what it's all about.
You know what's funny? I find, you know, people after shows they'll come up and say who they think you sound like, and it's always just what the person listens to, and it's all, like, totally relevant. It's all very flattering, you know. It's really cool to hear what people think, but it's like, I get it's all across the board. And if it's somebody, you know, younger, they'll say, like, Karen O, and somebody older, they'll say Janis Joplin or Grace Slick. You know, it's just, like, really cool to hear what people hear in the songs.
Yeah, it's all subjective. And I used to, as a band member, I used to have this thing, this, like, running gag. Okay, you're into improv theater, so bear with me here. I had this character that I came up with, and he would say these things called adodes, because there'd always be some drunk guy at the bar that would kind of tell us what we sound like. Or kind of talk about how great he thought the band was, like some old rocker or something.
Yeah.
And he'd always stumble up and he'd be like, "Hey, dude, y'all are fucking bad as hell, dude." Like, he would just be like, "Dude, I'm bad into y'all. I swear to God I am." And so it basically everything would just drunkenly start with "Hey, dude." But as a band member, it's funny that you bring that up, because I can totally relate, man. They'd be like, "Y'all, your band is tight, man. Y'all are like Batman and Robert up in here, dude."
Oh my God. Yeah, so, that's so true.
What's the weirdest that you've ever gotten, or the one that you feel is the most out in left field? Have you gotten any of honorable mention?
Oh, that's a good, let me think. I don't know if I've gotten any that have been so out there. Oh, I'll tell you the one that was the most flattering as far as like performance. I've a couple times gotten, my performance style is like, and I don't know his name. I wish I did. I was the lead singer of Cage the Elephant.
Hey.
And I was like, hell yeah. That's awesome. I love that guy. And I love that band.
Another great band from the great state of Kentucky.
Yeah.
Now, granted, I'm from Indiana, but I'll let it slide. Kentucky's pretty darn close to me. I live just seconds away from it. But yeah, another great band from Kentucky.
Yeah. No, they're awesome.
Well, you know what's awesome? Jenny, you're awesome. Your band's awesome. And you're about to embark on a tour, an awesome tour, if you will, all across the country. And for the listener out there, it starts today, October 10th. We've harnessed technology to time this so perfect. You know what I'm saying? We've outdone ourselves, Jenny. We've outdone ourselves on this here. But yeah, so it starts today in Kansas.
Oh yeah. Lawrence, Kansas.
Are you stoked for tour? What, like, give everybody the deets on some places that you're going to, some places you're most stoked about, some places you're not so stoked about. You can leave that out if you want to.
We are so, so excited. This is our first longer tour. We're going to be gone for about 4.5 weeks, and we're basically making a big circle, going out to the West and coming back. And every city is a city we've never played before. So that's really exciting. These are all new cities for us. And honestly, I'm excited, and this is like a very generic answer, but I'm very excited about all the cities because I'm a big road trip person. I love going to new places, and it could be a small town or a big town. If it's new to me, it's exciting. I just like meeting new people and new places. I have family in California, in San Francisco, LA, and San Diego. So those three cities will be fun to see family. But it's going to be all around a really good time.
Yeah. It's a good thing that you like road trips, because just as someone that's been there, done that, the grizzled old veteran over here, someone been there, done that. That sounded crappy. But what I meant to say is someone that has, done my share of touring, liking road trips is key, because you're going to be spending a lot of time in that van. And you think that you're going to do stuff. Like I was always like, you know what? I'm going to read. Check this out, man. I'm going to read, and I'm going to get all this reading done. Never happen, you know, because when you try to read, somebody else, you know, the driver is probably going to try to stay up and to keep him awake, he's turned on the radio, and then, you know, you're going to fight over the radio stations. And then after a while, you just end up talking and chatting. And so that's always nice. But yeah, a lot of road tripping. But I always liked tour as well. I didn't mind the travel. I was a good person to road trip with, because I'm a constant talker and observational humorist. So we can keep everybody awake and having a good conversation all the time.
Yeah, that's important. We all really love spending time together, and we have a lot of fun together, and everyone's very easygoing. And so that just makes traveling right there. It makes it really easy and fun, because you're just going out with your friends. I think the hardest part, just on the little bit of touring we've done, is sitting down for long periods of time. That's the thing, more than just not having anything to do in the van. It's just like when you start to feel old because your back gets all messed up because you've been sitting down for on average 7 hours a day.
Yep. Here's a pro tip. Wear your pajamas the entire time that you're in the van. Trust me.
You know, it's funny you say that. I literally bought, I don't really buy clothes that much, and I specifically went out yesterday and bought a pair of sweats. And I was like, these are my tour sweats. I'm going to be wearing these for 30 days.
Exactly. It's crucial because you can't be wearing your jeans and have your, you know, your waistband and your belt and all that stuff. You can't be having a tight outfit on the entire trip. You got to be comfortable. And guess what? You can change at the venue or in the van before you play into your show clothes. But
yeah, absolutely. I am 100% with you. Comfort is king.
It's paramount. So let me ask you, what places are you most excited to play? I guess besides your California dates with your family, of course. But I will say L.A., San Diego, and San Francisco, three of my absolute favorite places to play in the country. Absolutely love those cities.
Yeah, I'm very excited, especially since there's been some stations out in California that have been playing the record a lot. So it's cool to see the shows where, you know, people are coming where we don't know people and we've never played the city before, but just because they're spinning the station, spinning the record at some station, that's really cool. And that's it in Southern California. They've been playing it in some stations out there. And I love the West Coast. I'm a big West Coast person. I've never been to Portland or Seattle, so I'm in particular really excited about that. I've just only heard great things.
Okay, here's the deal. I didn't want to bring it up, okay? But since you specifically brought up those two cities, here's my thoughts about it. If San Diego, L.A., and San Francisco were my three favorite stops on tour, Portland and Seattle would be my two stops on the tour that are the complete opposite of that. Go ahead and fill in the blanks there. But believe it or not, I heard so much about it, went there, and it is the opposite of my favorite.
What was it about it?
Well, you know, the people there that you meet that are in the area, very friendly people. But a lot of those people aren't necessarily going to shows, and the people that are running some of the shows that we were on, now, of course, this could have been our experience, but we did a week in Oregon and Washington, just in general. We did 7 days there on our last tour, and I feel like it was just one of those things where people are like, out-of-towners, you're one of a million other out-of-towners that I've seen today. Like, whatever, just play your instruments and get out of here. So that was mine. But also, too, you got to think, we were just some loud punk rock band. You guys are probably going to be right at the heart of the scene. I feel like you guys will probably fit in fantastically.
Well, I don't know. It is funny how every city has a different vibe. You know,
it's
some
true.
Cities are all about out-of-town bands, and they go all out and a bunch of people show up, and then other cities you go to and they show up with their arms crossed and like, well, this better be good.
I'm not trying to burst your bubble here, though. I feel like I've turned you off from those two cities. Like I said, you guys will probably do extremely well, and everybody that I met there was cool, but also, too, everybody I met there were transplants from other places. The locals that I met there, not so much. Different story. I don't know. Different story altogether.
So, guys,
I don't know if I'm being as obvious as, but fill in the blanks there, how I feel about Seattle and Portland. Someone did ask me recently in an interview, what is your least favorite state to play in? And I did say it was a tie between Oregon and Washington.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, we are in and out of both those cities. We're there, we play a show, move along to the next city, to Seattle. And then we're playing a place called Coos Bay in Oregon. I don't really know anything about it. Did you guys ever play there?
Coos Bay? No, but it sounds nice.
Yeah, it's right on the water. Yeah, it looks really cool.
You know, I think I've heard of this place. It's like kind of a resorty type of area. Maybe not resorty, but you know, people do go there like to boat and all kinds of stuff. For some reason, it sounds familiar, but I've never played there.
Yeah, that's I just saw it's like on the water and looks cool.
You know what? It's beautiful country up there. You're going to love it. Forget what I said. You know what? I'm going to edit it out, guys. You didn't hear what I said. Even if I didn't edit it out, just pretend I didn't say it. You're going to love. Take two, guys. You're going to love Washington and Oregon. Jenny, if I can give you any advice, I love it. So
yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, it's all bleeped out and just like the parts where you said didn't like or it's just like.
Yeah. I'm just going to bleep out didn't. I'll bleep out every negative word in there. But yeah. And speaking of touring, you got a brand new tour mate. And I've mentioned his name several times on this podcast already, but I'm talking about Jake Hellman, a good friend of mine.
Yay.
From Never Nervous. But I don't know if Jake told you this. Jake and I are family. Did he tell you that?
No.
Yes, very loosely related family, but we claim each other as related nonetheless. Jake and I, when we were younger, randomly would be at the same parties. When I say younger, like early 20s, you know, we're all in our 30s now. But And then one day I came to this party with my cousin Ryan. And everybody called cousin Ryan, cousin Ryan. And Jake was like, why is everybody calling you cousin Ryan? I'm the only one whose cousin you actually are. That's crazy. And I was like, well, actually, Jake, that's my cousin Ryan. So believe it or not, Jake and I have Ryan is related to me on his dad's side. And Ryan is Jake's cousin on Ryan's mother's side.
No way.
So there you go.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. The resemblance is uncanny. We're both beautiful bearded men. Other than that, that's about and we're both right around five, you know, in the middle there, 5'5", 6 ish. So
yeah.
But yeah. So yeah. He told me today that he was in your band now, and I was very stoked. What's he playing now?
Bass.
All right, dude. Well, that was cool because I was like, well, hey, I'm talking to Jenny tonight on the podcast, and he was like, yeah, I know. So there you go.
Yeah, he is so cool. I love him. And he just jumped right in. And he's such, he's got so much energy and he's got so many great ideas. It's such an asset to have someone like that in a band who like comes in with all this like cool ideas.
Yeah, you need a just wave of like, I don't know, newness, of freshness. You know what I'm saying? To kind of re-energize and reinvigorate your passion for what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true. He's got a lot of passion and energy, and he's also just a great bassist. So you got some good fam.
Hey, man. You know, it runs in the family, us being so cool. And you're telling me that yeah. Jake is hard at work right now. What is Jake and the gang doing right now?
Oh, yeah. We bought a van a couple weeks ago, and it was an old medical supply van. And so it had this big, like a lift, almost like a wheelchair lift that came down, and they put like medical supplies in. So we got the lift taken out, but then there was this whole cage that's still in the back that held the lift. And Jake and Aaron were talking about it at the last band practice. And Jake's like, yeah, we can do it. We'll do it. He's like, he just built a house. I feel like that guy can do anything.
So is he going to remove this cage, or are you guys just going to build more cage and just have like a steel cage match in the van?
Yeah. I feel like Jake would be really into that. It's like wrestling.
Jake and I have that in common as well. We definitely love professional wrestling. What's your thoughts on pro wrestling?
I don't know anything about it, really. I
have a feeling you'll be an expert by the time this tour is over.
Yeah.
Tour with Jake.
Yeah, but they're over there now, still working hard. Aaron sent me some pictures with sparks flying and just doing the hard work. I think his dad may be there, too. I saw someone else in the picture that I'm guessing is his dad. So
they're just hard at work. You know what I'm saying? You got to make the band van livable because that's going to be your home for the next, you know, 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can't imagine being in there with only one bench seat and us all squeezed in. Gotta get that bench seat put in so we don't all kill each other.
That's true. And, you know, singers need their privacy, okay? Every singer that I've ever been in a van with, they're like, you know what? I just need to be away from everyone right now. So there you go. Second bench seat. That's all you, buddy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I feel like one thing that I always feel vulnerable right before a show because I do a lot of vocal warm-ups. I don't know if whoever sang in your band did vocal warm-ups, but like if you're ever around someone who's doing them, it's really embarrassing because you have to make all these weird noises. And I mean, you just look like a crazy person. And when I'm at home, obviously I just go in my room and I even get embarrassed sometimes doing it in front of like Aaron, you know, you just do weird bee-boo-bop-y things really loud. And then, you know, when you're on tour, you do it in front of everybody or you do it out in a parking lot or, you know, it's just like, I don't know.
Our singer would
singer problems.
Yeah, I know. Our singer would always do it, do his vocal warm-ups in our trailer. We had a trailer with all our gear in it, and he would, once the gear was out, he would always do the vocal warm-ups sweating in that trailer. I don't know how he managed to do it, but that's where he did it. But it was dark, and it was alone, and nobody else was in there, so.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like, doesn't seem like it would be that vulnerable, but it's it is this weird thing, but you have to do it before every show, and you got to try to make time for it. Because I know if I don't get to do it, I can't really belt it like a higher range.
Well, it's key, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's your instrument. So just as a guitarist would tune his instrument, you got to tune the old vocal cords. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got to warm up those pipes.
Got to warm up the cords, bro. So, yeah, and, well, I tell you what, as we're winding down, there's something that, you know, not only is Jake a great asset to the band, but he was also a great asset to me. Because I asked him a couple questions before the show, and you know he told me about the tour. I already knew some of those things, but one thing he didn't that I didn't know, little fun interesting fact, he told me that you're somewhat of a celebrity when it comes to commercials.
I don't know about that. But
I heard that you have appeared in commercials for such brands as Speedway and McDonald's.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I do it. I've been doing it for a couple years to make some extra money.
How did you get the gig?
Well, I was acting when I came to town. I met some people and I did a play and I found out about Human Talent and I went and I started auditioning. And yeah, most of the stuff here in town is commercials, but they're starting to get more movies that are filming here. And I just started that way. Started showing up, saying my lines, putting my little Speedway outfit on, going in, saying the line 20 times. I did have one that was a high five. I had to give a high five over and over again. Until I was a Speedway employee and it was for like the lottery or something. And a customer's coming in to buy a lottery ticket and we high fived. I said one line and then we high fived, but this high five had to be at this perfect moment to where the camera like rolled around. The guy was sitting on a seat with the camera and people were like pushing him, you know, like, and it had to be at this perfect moment. So we high-fived for, you know, probably a solid hour at least. I mean, my hand was raw and red by the end of it. It was only a couple hours shoot, but like most of it was just getting this high-five right. And I went into this commercial being like, yeah, piece of cake, got one line, show up, high-five, and out. And it was brutal.
So by the end of it, your hand was all blood red and chapped?
I know.
What was your line? Yeah. What was your one line?
Oh, I wish I could remember it. I can't remember. I think it was Fast Five. Something about Fast Five. Speedway Fast Five. It was whatever the lottery was thing. But yeah, I've done two Speedway. I've done McDonald's and like just some regional things. The one that is still airing, because most of them only air for a little bit, and I'll never see them. I don't have a TV, and I'll only know if they aired because, you know, I'll run into somebody who will, one of my friends, who will just be like, hey, were you, like, in the background of a commercial?
Was that you eating that Big Mac?
I was like that person in the background of a McDonald's commercial, just like eating a sandwich, you know. But yeah, I had one that's with the Kentucky college system where it was pop-up graphics. It was one of those where you just, I'm like, I don't even know what's going on because they, you know, superimpose it afterwards. And there's, I'm like pointing and these pop-up graphics are coming and, you know, that's, of course, that's the one that's still airing, was like a cheesy pop-up graphic commercial.
Perfect. Man, I want to be on in a Kaufman, Stigger & Hughes commercial, and you don't have a TV, so you might not know what I'm talking about, but Kaufman, Stigger & Hughes is a law firm, obviously, and it's like, get the tiger on your side, okay? And then their commercials show this tiger, a computer-generated tiger that, like, slashes and roars, okay? The only thing is these commercials have been around since early to mid-90s, and they have never once updated the graphic. So,
It is
like looking at, like, your elementary school computer screensaver or something. Like, it is like, it's... to compare it to movies you've never seen or something like that. I mean, it is literally the maybe crappiest tiger graphic I've ever seen, but it has its appeal. You know, it's retro. And so Kaufman, Stigler, and Hughes, if you're listening, I'm ready. I know Jenny's ready, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe
it reminds me of the 1-800-GENERAL, you know, that commercial from...
Yes.
Call 1-800-GENERAL now. It's got that general graphic, and they've been using that for like 25 years.
Yes. It's even, this one is even cheesier than that, but we're definitely on the same track here. But yeah.
Well, they're always looking for guys, so.
Well, hey, you know what? You just pass that information along, and then maybe we'll be in a commercial together. It'll be like, hey, did you try the Big Mac? And you'll be like, no, Robert, I haven't had the Big Mac. And I'm like, you know, I'm Sean, dude. And you're like, dude, you're Robert in the script. And then we'll have that banter. And then the director will be like, yo, cut. Just say the lines that you're supposed to say. Stick to the script, you two.
Yeah, that would be way more entertaining than what it really is, which is showing up and everybody like cold staring each other. When are we all getting out of here?
How's the pay? How's the pay? Is it okay?
Good. It's really good. I mean, yeah. Like, I'd say on average, you know, maybe $800 to
$1,000.
Sign me up. Yeah, man. I'm telling you, they're always looking for guys. I feel like, you know, because for every, I don't know, for every six girls, you know, there's like one guy. It's just, there's so many girls. You definitely should do it. You said, wait, you have a beard too?
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. People are going to be casting for a 5'5", 5'6" fat man with a beard that's balding with a lot of tattoos. I think that there's a market for it, guys. Look out, Tom Cruise. Louisville's got the next leading man right here.
Yeah. You're in. You got it.
I'm in, dude. It's a done deal. But Jenny, I'll tell you what, it's been a real pleasure chatting with you. I mean, this is the first time we've ever talked, and we didn't know each other before this conversation. And I've been having a great time. I don't know about you.
Yeah, this is awesome. Thank you so much.
Hey, well, you're welcome. Now, whenever we wrap up here, I like to ask you to just give the listener the details. Where can people find you online? You do have the internet, right?
Yes. Okay. I do have the internet. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Frederick the Younger. And it's Fred Derrick. A lot of people write it Frederick, but it's FREDERICK.
Frederick.
All the social media, Instagram, Twitter.
Are you good at Twitter? I'm not good at it. I've been trying to get better, but sometimes
really?
I think...
Really? You seem seem like you would be so good at it.
Well, I appreciate that. But my goal, like, I'm like, well, I'll just keep posting these links like every couple hours, and then I'll post like something funny, and then nobody will acknowledge it, and I'm like, crap, now I have to wait like 6 more hours before I can post something funny again.
It's funny how there is kind of a science to it.
It's all about regular tweets. I don't know.
Yeah, it is. And I know, like, I think a lot of bands get this from people on their, you know, like people around them, like booking agents or managers or whatever, like pressuring for more social media. And it's because it is about consistency. And, you know, I don't think no one in our band's a big social media person. So it's always kind of a struggle to post regularly.
Life is full of difficulties.
I can
relate to that 100%. Yeah, I try to be good. I try to be a good Twitterer. Not so much. I'm even worse at Instagram, but I feel like I can probably get away with posting just once every few days on Instagram. I don't know. We'll see. But the podcast numbers keep going up and up and up, so I must be doing something right, you know?
Yeah, you're a great interviewer.
Hey, well, thanks so much. Guys, this podcast is just going to be two people complimenting, two strangers complimenting each other on their art. So, but you know what? I think in this world when everything's kind of going to shit sometimes, we just need a nice uplifting podcast like this to put people in a better mood.
Yeah, really. You know, a little bit of sunshine.
Exactly.
A little bit of sunshine in the day.
Exactly. Well, Jenny, do you have anything to say to the listeners? I know by the time they hear this, you will be long gone in Lawrence, Kansas. But yeah, anything to say to the listeners before we wrap it up?
Thank you guys so much for listening. We will be going all over America. So if you look us up on Facebook or on our website, you can see if we're coming to a city by you. And thank you very much.
You heard it first, guys. It is what it is. Listeners out there, and if you like Frederick the Younger, you definitely want to make sure to support them and check all their stuff out. Check out all their social media. If you like the Sean vs. Wild podcast, which if you made it this far, something tells me I'm pretty okay in your book. But if you haven't yet, please feel free to like the show on Facebook and subscribe on iTunes. It's on YouTube. It's on Twitter. It's on Instagram. It's wherever you get your podcasts. And definitely, I would appreciate that. I'm so glad you put this tape in. Thanks for checking out the show. This has been the Sean vs. Wild podcast.